Dressed in traditional white hat and robe, Imam Ali leads nighttime prayers at the mosque. In many ways, his experience tracks the life story of many American Muslims. His parents emigrated from India, but he was born and raised in the Chicago suburb of Glen Ellyn. He earned his undergraduate degree and master's degree at Catholic institutions, then completed his Islamic studies in Egypt. Ali says he grew up thinking of himself as an American first. And he says Americans would be mistaken to think either the Orlando shooting or the practices of ISIS represent the Islamic faith.
On multiple levels, he violated Islamic laws, norms, and traditions. So it's really, if anybody tries to say that he did this in the name of faith, I'd have to question their understanding of the faith.
You say violated a number of norms, for example.
Violence. Violence and attacking people, even if you disagree with their actions, is something which Islam condemns. Right? So doing something like that and trying to use Islam to justify it, this violates Islamic law, Islamic norms, Islamic practices.
You seem to be saying ISIS is not Islamic, not really representing the faith.
If you look at the teachings of ISIS and the practices of ISIS, they conflict with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad and the teachings of the Quran. And look, one of the things that you see that the mass killing, whether a person is, a non-combatant, man, woman, child, non-combatant, they kill people indiscriminately. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that the majority of ISIS victims are Muslims rather than non-Muslims.
The majority of people who have been mass shooters in this country are not Muslim, yet we don't refer to them as radical Christian terrorists. The phrase radical Islamic terrorist has become very common. Is there a double standard there, in your opinion, and is that fair?
I think there is a double standard. A lot of the people in our own community, they have this complaint about why is it when a person may be connecting himself to the Islamic tradition, Islamic faith, that his religion is mentioned, but when he is not connected to the Islamic faith, they don't mention, they might connect it to mental illness, they might connect it to a variety of issues. So I think that one of the possibilities is because the people's lack of understanding about the Islamic faith. When they see situations like this, this is sometimes the only thing that they know about Islam. So I think it's an important thing on the part of the Muslims and the non-Muslims to come together to try to understand the faith and to really see, okay, what does your faith teach?
Two of the shooters, one in San Bernardino and the other in Orlando, were American citizens. What do you think would attract a Muslim who was born and raised here in America to radical groups?
Sometimes people, and immigrants from many different backgrounds, they have a concept of something called twofold inferiority, as many of the people have talked about. Because they're not fully assimilated with their own host country and their current country. So they don't feel like they belong either place. So this is something that we're trying to teach our children and ourselves, and this is something that my parents instilled in me as well, is that, look, we came from India. But you're American. When you talk to our kids and you ask them what's their favorite food, some of the older generation expects them to say biryani or shawarma or something like that. But majority of the kids will say pizza, right? Burgers. So I think that to understand that there is no conflict between a person being American and Muslim. And I don't think that some of the people that fall into these radical groups, they are the ones that try to promote this distinction. You have to choose, either be a Muslim or either be an American. You can't do both. And that's the mentality. The perpetuation of this mentality is what's driving people to these type of groups, where the moderate voice and the vast majority of Muslims in the United States say, no, you can be an American Muslim. Those terms are not contradictory. And we saw a great example in the life of Muhammad Ali in that regard.
It's looking more and more like this gunman in Orlando was simply a madman, that he really did not have ties to ISIS. What do you think was his motivation?
I really don't know, but just from the comments, it seems like he was very confused individual on multiple levels, right? If you read some of the articles, it's mentioned the bullying, it mentioned some domestic issues. Even the groups that he was mentioning, he mentioned ISIS and he mentioned other terrorist organizations that are conflict with ISIS and fight against ISIS. So I think he was a very, very confused individual. And beyond that, I really don't know why he would do something like that. And I think that it's very unfair to try to say that this is because of his religion, because any type of religion would condemn these type of actions.
Law enforcement is increasingly saying that Muslim Americans need to help them prevent future attacks. How do you think Muslim Americans can help?
If you look at some of the patterns of the people that fall under this trap, they isolate themselves from the Islamic centers, from the mosques, because the mosques and the Islamic centers don't allow this type of mentality to fester, to breathe. They address it head on, saying that ISIS does not represent Islam. They are, as a lack of better, they're hijacking Islam. So the Muslim American people, it's important for them to become more engaged, right, with their neighbors, with their coworkers, with their colleagues, become even more involved in the political process. By these ways, hopefully we can become, more at the forefront, so people, instead of getting their information through people that have agendas, they can get it directly from Muslims. So I think it's important to become more engaged.
Do you think it will create, though, some tensions in the community? I mean, people might fear being named or being told on, and their neighbors might be spying upon them.
It would be create tension, that fear, that unknown aspect, and that vigilant. But it's important for us to work together to help each other out, to help everyone feel safe. So when it comes to helping each other out, if we notice any one of our children or anyone having whether it's doubts or, whatever kind of issue it may be. It could be a psychological issue, it could be a mental issue, it could be a spiritual issue. We try to get them the help that they need in order to make a positive contribution. Because if we don't and we neglect them or we let it go, or potentially they get help from bad sources, that can have a negative impact. When they isolate themselves, sometimes they may find people of their similar mentality dividing people on online forums and these different avenues. But people who are in the mosque, we come from different backgrounds, we have different perspectives, so it's a more pluralistic environment, which is a microcosm of the community at large.
It's looking more and more like the Orlando attacker had no real ties to a terrorist group. But one thing is certain, that this was a hate crime, and he did have an issue with gay, lesbian, and transgender people.
Every human has dignity. Every creation has dignity and must be treated with honor and with respect. And it's okay, if we disagree with people, but to be disrespectful or to target them and to hate and to bully and to, God forbid, attack, this is something which is completely against Islam, and we need to make that known to everybody.
What is it specifically that Islam teaches about homosexual behavior?
Islam teaches that physical relationships are permissible only between, in the bounds of marriage, between a male and a female. This is in terms of physical relationships. We say same-sex acts are not permissible, but we also distinguish between physical actions and thoughts and emotions and feelings. A person in Islam is not responsible for his thoughts until he acts upon them. So if somebody says that, okay, they're not engaged in physical behavior, intimate behavior, then we say there's nothing wrong with that in terms of, as long as you don't act upon it.
Basically, you're talking about a belief or a doctrine that is not dissimilar to what many Christian churches are teaching.
It's very similar. That's why some of the things we do believe in, many of the things in the Abrahamic moral code that we believe. But again, as the Christians and Jews have taught as well, if you disagree with somebody, that doesn't give you the right to, attack them or bully them or to target them.
Many Muslims who are gay say they don't feel welcome in the mosques or accepted by their fellow Muslims. Is that something that has to change, that the Muslim community has to work on?
When we look at people who come to the mosque, Every one of us has our weaknesses, has our deficiencies, but we never stop anybody at the door. Do you drink alcohol? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you engage in adultery? All of these things, right? We don't ask them. We welcome everybody into the mosque. When it becomes a little bit problematic, if people are overt about these things, right? Let's say someone brings alcohol into the mosque, or someone, even if they're heterosexual relationships outside the bounds of marriage or in public, in Islam are not allowed. Okay? So if someone starts to overtly try to do these things, then it can be a little bit problematic. But if they come, even if they have homosexual tendencies and behaviors, we're not going to stop them at the door. And one of the things which is maybe unique to Islam, we don't have a process of excommunication, meaning that because you engage in this, you're banned from the community, you're banned from the society. If it becomes something which can impose on the rights of others, then we can say, yes, this is not allowed, or it cringes on the tenets of the faith, then we can have this discussion or conversation. But if somebody is engaged in certain practices, we don't stop them, we don't say, don't come. We try to say that, you know what, if you need any help or assistance, we're here for you.
If someone came to the mosque today and said, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay woman, I'm a transgender man or woman, what would be your response?
Are you here to pray? If you want to pray, we're going to pray together soon. I'll give him the prayer timings and tell him, okay, what time prayer is.
Do you see the tragedy in Orlando, the tragedy in San Bernardino as an opportunity to open dialogue? There had possibly been a sense that the mosques, not because they did not want to engage in dialogue, but perhaps felt like they had to be in the shadows. They had to keep quiet in the larger society.
There has been an increased concentration and focus on this. But, many centers have been doing this for a long time, just working with people from different faith-based backgrounds or even, different sexual orientations through common goals. Like, we have a committee and we have different interfaith partners, which we work together on social issues, we work together on moral issues, poverty, racism, all of these things. So I think it is important. There is definitely a more increased concentration because think about it. If a person is being targeted based on their sexual orientation, yesterday I talked to the youth, right? We don't agree with those practices and we don't agree with any person being targeted. What if one of our sisters is targeted because someone doesn't agree with her headscarf, right? So empathy. And when we work with others, I may not agree with what that person believes in, but when I work with them, I get to empathize and try to walk in their shoes. And that develops a common humanity.